Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this Thursday, November 8th, 2018. Shaman Beach Bum Gun live on the off ramp. Wishing y'all a beautiful, beautiful Thursday. Even though, you know, you gotta start off this day with sadness, man. I mean, as I embark on another hour, half hour, 2 hours on my favorite hobby, and that's talking to y'all, the people. Gotta have a moment of silence real quick, man. Got another mass shooting in California. Gonna take a quick moment to say, God bless those families, those kids, those adults that passed, the families that are affected. Say, homie went in there with smoke bombs. Fuck. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you out here and partying at a bar, somebody sets up a smoke bomb. Well, I mean, you just see a bunch of smoke, you probably think it's fire. Let me get low. Let me get out of here. I mean, who knows what's going on at these kids' clubs nowadays? You probably think that's just part of the new raid. Set some smoke off in this bitch. Next, you know, gunshots. That sucks, man. Said he was a Marine, decorated Marine. I got a homie that's a Marine. I worry about him too. I always every time I ask him, get together and ask him how things are, have a good talk. I look him in his eye, but yo, how you feeling? And you know, you worry about people like that. Besides all the BS with the political agendas on everybody, and everybody still getting up in arms about politics and government. You motherfuckers don't even know how shit works. You're so passionate about politics. But I get it. I mean, in my humble opinion, Trump's a dickhead, but you know, it's politics, man. It's part of the rotation. In the 80 years of Obama, you knew he was getting a Republican. It didn't matter what happened. You gotta rein it back a little bit. You gotta try to stay as much neutral as possible. But people take this political stuff so deep, so passionate, to the point where, you know, you feel like they got to kill people to get their point across. I mean, it's been going on since the beginning of time, or since the beginning of humans. Humans are destructive, man. So, you know, people don't agree with genders, and so they just decide to kill folk. I just don't understand why they pussy enough to kill themselves, though. That's my whole thing. You got the balls enough to go in there and let it off. And when they catch you, you tell them why. Be man enough to be like, yo, I let it off for A, B, C, and D. That's why everybody got it. But you gonna plug yourself. You soft, dude. You ain't man enough to stand up for it, then you pussy, in my opinion. It's what it is. And then a shout out to my man. I ain't gonna say his name over on the internet, cause I just don't know how he feels about the situation. But my man just lost his brother in a terrible, tragic event involving kidnapping and beating. He just lost his brother, so thinking about you, bro, sucks, man. Can't imagine what you're going through. It's a tough week, man. It's rough out there, man. That's why I stay my black ass home, man. That's why I go get my groceries on Wednesdays. Ain't nobody in there on a Wednesday. Stock up on my beer and my liquor. And keep my black ass in the house. Because you just never know. You never know what you're going to run into out there. But this brings up a lot of conversations, especially when it comes to, like, gun violence and all that good stuff. And we might be able to get into that discussion today. I don't know. So, again, welcome to the Off-Ramp Show for the people, by the people, of the people. You want to call in 929-477-3975. You can hit us up on Twitter at Beach Bum Gun. You can hit us up on Facebook, Beach Bum Gun. I mean, you can hit us up on social media, but I'd rather you just call in and say what up. Holler at the people. Oh, man, yo. My computer is acting crazy. I mean, I know this Dell is from, like, 1998. I don't need to do much but log on to ESPN and watch porn. I see I had a couple people out there. I know my man Black was on hold, and I had another call from Maryland. I'm trying to get to y'all, but my computer just froze up, so give me a quick second. I got a lot of things I want to touch tonight, man. Like I said, last I left y'all, I was on my way up to Towson for homecoming. And recap that. All right. Hey, Black.
You're was good.
Not much, my brother. How you doing tonight?
I'm good, fam. How you feeling?
I can't complain, man. Can't complain, man. Turn down your TV, man. I can hear it through the speakers.
I turned it off, yo. It's all good.
Unless you just want to listen. But if you want to comment,
nah.
Turn that down.
Nah, we can comment.
How you doing, holding up, man? You good?
Yeah, I'm good. Here, just chilling, watching the Houston OKC game. You know, my little drink. I'm chilling.
What you drinking on tonight?
Got me some, I got Jameson, but I'm actually drinking a joint that I brought over from that Pure White Henny.
Ah, the bottle you supposed to send me, huh? We ain't gonna talk.
Yeah, I mean,
that, yo.
You.
Damn Africans, bruh, man.
Bruh, you told me you already got some, so I was like, all right, if you're good with that, I'll go ahead and drink this myself.
Shout out to my homegirl, Astaway, who hooked me up with a bottle. Because obviously my man, 50 Grand Black, sold me out, man.
No, you told me that Astaway got you some. So then I was like, all right, fine. If she got you some, you don't need this one. I'm going to drink it myself.
You can't trust your old boys. But we got, hey, hold on for a second, Black. We got another call from 301. Welcome to the off-ramp. You mad Beach on Gun. Who's on the line?
Hey, it's Shannon.
Shannon, you always be having different numbers, yo.
I only got two numbers.
Bruh, she works for the CIA. Okay. Come on.
Wow, I didn't know you worked for the CIA. That's why you be always, anytime I hop into Maryland, you call me and be like, what you doing in my state?
I do not work for the CIA.
So since I have two Towson graduates online, I'll start with you, Black, since you was the first one online. Well, I really don't know who was the first one online because my computer's dying. So would you? I know you showed up late. Thanks for showing up, man. Sorry I couldn't hang out with y'all too late Saturday night, man, but I had to get up early. So what was your assessment of TU homecoming?
I mean, for the brief stuff that I saw, I thought it was a success. I thought it was good. It was good to see a bunch of people I ain't seen in a minute. And everybody was having a good time. So, you know, I think it was a good thing. And I definitely am going to be there next year, definitely taking off.
Okay. Shannon, how about you? What do you think of TU homecoming? compared to Norfolk State homecoming. Did you homecoming?
I mean, it was great. I'll definitely be back next year, too. I was drunk. But it was just really good to see everybody's face and see everybody together in one spot again, just like the good old college days.
Yeah, I think that's what I always reference homecomings to. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's weird seeing people you used to date knowing that you're not, like, because your initial reaction is, whoa, I used to mess with. But then you get over that pretty quickly. I'm like, oh, yeah, that was, like, 20 years ago. Like, we're old as shit, you know?
Hey, speak for yourself.
Like, look, man, you African. We don't even know what your birth certificate is, yo. You might be 167 years old, yo, drinking the Nile water, yo. That's why you look. That's why you still look young, yo. But I mean, I want some, yo. I ain't even hating, yo. Fat, yo. I need some good Nile water, yo. But yeah, so like my always assessment of homecoming is like, man, yeah, you see so many people that you spend time with in college, and not all the times were great. You know, you've had some rough moments with some of these people you see, but you automatically go through the good times. And, like, you all, once you see some of you, automatic, I don't know if it's just human nature, I don't know what it is, but, like, as soon as you see somebody you know, unless it's, like, a mortal enemy, like, you automatically think of, like, the good times you spent with them. So, like, homecoming is always filled with good feelings because you're always just thinking of the good times you spent with those people. Like, even, like people like you two, who I see all the time. Now, I see Black more than I see Shannon. But Shannon, like, even like, when I see you on occasion, I automatically go to, you know, us being in the English class and, you know, when we first met and started talking and cracking jokes and getting to know each other. Like, it's good times, Black. We got a million good times together. But it's like, that's what's great about homecoming. So, but I mean, okay, so on the technical part of it, now, Black, you might just sit this one out since you weren't there. Shannon, you know what? Yeah. I'm really impressed by how Towson does its homecoming on that field. It sucked because it rained the night before. But to be able to have basically all the alumni, well, most of the alumni, most of all the organizations from the school all on one huge big field, it's pretty damn awesome. Now, I know it sucks logistically because I saw you moving down that cart down that big ass hill. How do you like it being like all of us in one spot? Would you rather us be like in the parking lot and moving from place to place, or do you like it in the big grass space?
No, I like that setup.
Yeah, I thought it was. I don't know how they're going to do it next year with the new turf. So, I think it's a good setup.
Yeah, I like that setup. Ahead, that was different to me, but I liked it.
So,
go ahead, Black.
Last year, when we went last year, and they still had the field set up, and it was really nice. So, like, everybody was having fun, drinking, whatever. So I heard through the grapevine that this year they were going to try to change things up. Try to make it, I guess, due to the climate as far as what has been going on with shootings at different schools and things of that nature, they're going to try to change it in such a way that there's more, I guess, secure measures put in place. And they were contemplating not having it on the field as such or preventing people from bringing in alcohol or, certain other things to just try and make it a more quote-unquote secure situation. So I guess when those things were put into place, when they were getting ready to vote on it and it looked like they were going to actually enact it, some of the groups such as, I don't know, not SGA, but some of the other groups that are on Towson's campus were against it. So they were, I guess I could say, in a sense, boycotting coming to homecoming, because if you couldn't allow people to have the same liberties that they had from last year and years before that, as far as homecoming was concerned, they weren't going to be joining for this year. So I'm glad they didn't go through with it because they took it back and just let it go as it's been going on for previous years.
Yeah, I mean if you want to pat people down and metal detect them for guns and shit, that's cool. But don't take away our alcohol.
I agree, but they were trying to actually move the venue from the they were actually thinking about moving the venue from the field to another location that could be where they could be able to use the security measures to make sure. But in that respect, that regard, it loses the kind of I don't know what's the word I'm looking for, the kind of feel that you guys got when you were on the field and you see so many people there, and it's just like I don't know, a good family kind of orientation to, you know, homecoming. I mean, it's especially for us alumni. So I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. Look, I don't know how you can secure thousands and thousands of people. I mean, not get to the morbid topic, but since you brought it up about the security measures, I mean, if you talk about the shooting in California last night, if you talk about the shooting in Vegas, like when there's just a mass group of people and there's a nut job, you're just really rolling the dice. I mean, when we went to the Super Bowl parade for the Eagles game, for the Eagles Super Bowl, shout out to y'all Redskins fans, in February, you realize, like I realized early, no one has control of the situation. You just hope for the best. Now, when
not
it comes
control,
to,
but they definitely do their due diligence. So the NFL brings in Homeland Security and a lot of other agencies and stuff like that for those events.
But
yeah, but
thing,
even still, if you have 70,000 people and 200 guards, 70,000 people are going to win. Like you're not.
But how do you know it's 200 guards?
So here's the thing.
You're not. If you have 70,000 people, unless you have 30,000 guards, you're not doing anything.
But
I just think that they have other staff and technology and measures that aren't public.
But here's my thing, Shannon. Like, even if they have, you know, I don't know, the FBI or whoever trying to control a situation, trying to secure a situation, even if they stop a person from like having a bomb or mass shootings or anything like that, people can still get harmed. Like, let's say they may not succeed with their whole plan. People can still get hurt. Let's say if they put a bomb near the event and it goes off, and it may not be anybody in the event that they intended to get harmed gets harmed, but somebody else can get hurt. I mean, things can happen at any situation, no matter what type of security you have.
I think that's why you just have to do your due diligence, and then, like, the rest just is what it is. But so that's why I say, like, I can see metal detectors and patting everyone down and stuff like that.
Right.
But I don't know what taking away the alcohol is going to do.
Yeah, and I agree with you on that. I thought it was just stupid. That didn't make sense to me. But, you know, it's kind of like, all right, take for instance when Backyard came when we was in Towson, and they had a metal detector that just got out of hand. Hey, I'm telling you, it got shut down. I
saw you beating your feet last weekend.
Ooh, bye, bye. Oh, wait a minute. Doing the butt. Hey.
Hey, I'm telling you. You got some classic hits, bro.
It's a lot of booty shaking. I didn't like go-go.
That was a lot of go-go for a Baltimore party.
I mean, but I'm just saying, given the current climate right now, where we're hearing so many more mass shootings than we've ever heard, shit, since I've been born, like, these past 2 years, there have been more mass shootings than I've ever known, like, in my whole entire life. And it's getting more and more. And it's, I don't know if it's the political rhetoric that's going on, or there's more other underlying issues that are going on that are causing people to, you know, take things into their own hands as far as being, let's say, they're ridiculed. Because this guy that just shot up that bar, he planned this shit out. I mean, just based upon what they were saying, it sounds like he planned this motherfucking shit out. And he probably was gunning for either people that were there that were also in the service, like he was, or it had to be because of something that probably went on when he had come to the establishment, and maybe somebody, I don't know, spit in his face, spit in his drink. I don't know. What the fuck? He went off.
Yeah, he said he threw a smoke bomb in that joint, yo. Like, you know how
he had tactical training.
Yes. But, like, I mean, you can't prevent that unless you put a tracking system on every person coming out the service.
Nah, you can't prevent that. I mean, the dude threw a smoke bomb, but he went directly to the first threat, which was the security officer, shot him before he tried to go into the crowd and shoot other people.
Yeah.
But he knew exactly what he was doing.
Yeah.
That's rough, man.
And he only had a handgun, right?
Exactly, but it was modified, and so that he could have extra clips. So my thing is this whole issue about the gun control, because I know people own guns, and I'm not saying that, you know, people can't own guns, but there has to be more stricter laws as far as how you can purchase a gun, how you can get your hands on a gun. I don't know how they're going to do it, but it has to be done, because at this point, I understand why people like guns. I understand why they want to have a gun, but I also understand why there shouldn't be guns on the streets anyway.
But, Kenny, you don't, like, to me, if they were going to do something about gun control, they would have did it when a bunch of elementary school kids got shot up. If that didn't move them to do something about gun control, then, you know, at this point, I don't know what will.
It can't, because this is a business. These dudes make money off that shit. Like, to get in the office, they rely on the money from people who support gun control, who support the ATF. So that's why it's never going to go away.
Yeah, I mean, like Shannon said, once them kids got killed and they didn't do nothing, and then the kids got killed in Florida, and the first time the kids got killed in Connecticut, well, first the kids got killed in Columbine, they didn't do nothing. Kids got killed in Connecticut, they ain't do nothing. Kids got killed in Florida.
And those were tiny kids.
And they're not going to do nothing until it's their kids that are getting shot. They're not going to do nothing.
It is their kids.
No. I'm talking about, no. I'm not talking about just white, because not all white folks are pro-gun. I mean, I'm talking about the people that are with the ATF are talking about,
NRA.
Yeah, NRI. I say ATF. I meant NRA. Yeah. Those
I'm drinking that Hennessy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's drinking that Jameson. Get some Jack up in you, man.
Bro, you already know I got Jack on deck, too. I do. I'm a whiskey drinker.
So, I'm a gun shooting enthusiast, but I think that there's no reason why you can be on the no-fly list. Right, like we don't trust you to get on the airplane, but you can go ahead and buy a gun. Or why in some states you can be 17 and buy a long gun but not a handgun, you know, so we trust you with the long gun, but we don't trust you to buy alcohol or to gamble.
It's all
I guess that's because you might be permitted to go on a plane and travel, but you should still be able to protect yourself. You might not be able to have a handgun to walk around and protect yourself out in the public, but you could have a long gun to go hunting with.
I understand that's what it's for. You know, I understand the purpose behind it, but you don't think it's time to rethink that? I mean, so, like, for example, Yas Orange Man, you know, has an issue with the 14th Amendment and is proposing that he can repeal it or whatever. When it comes to the Second Amendment, everybody feels like it is beyond reproach. So it's, you know, it's unfathomable that you can possibly say, well, you know, the Second Amendment didn't contemplate semi-automatic and automatic hand guns in the hands of regular citizens, right? But you can say that the 14th Amendment didn't contemplate other people and nationalities coming here. You know, they don't even really have a real rationale, you know, for why they love this amendment and why they love guns more than actual human lives. And I'm a person who, like, actually likes guns. Like, I was literally at the range this time last week shooting an AR, you know, but I definitely think that we need to do something about this problem. And we're the only country who really has this problem.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, You have to do something. Hey, Jamar, I'm going to get to you in a second, bro. I see you just called in, but my computer shut down as soon as I went to log you in. I'm with you, Shannon. Like, I think there's a problem that we all need to figure out, and I'm sovereign. So, I mean, if your president got a problem with the Fourth Amendment but not the Second Amendment, that's a y'all problem. I can't deal with that, man. I'm just a sovereign citizen that pays his taxes so the IRS man don't come for me. But, I mean, we all kind of agree. I just feel like gun laws need to be reviewed. Let's look at the reason why we allow everyone to have a gun, and why, you know, who should have a gun, what the background checks could be. I mean, I talked to Brother Henry, and he's a big gun advocate. He sells guns, he does security and all that stuff, and his thing isn't like the gun laws don't need to be changed. That the laws that's already on the books need to be enforced, and they're not, and that's where the fail safe is. But I'm gonna bring Brother Witted in. Welcome to the off ramp, good sir. How you doing tonight?
Fine. To you? Can you hear me? Can everybody hear me? Like,
yeah, you good, yo? You on the off ramp? Welcome to the community, yo. And you took the right.
Oh, okay, that's weird.
I appreciate it.
Because it's like I'm on a computer. Nah, I'm on a computer, and it's like I'm hearing something different than him on the phone.
Oh, it's what you. It's probably a delay, man. I mean, it's the internet, yo.
Okay, all right. Nah, I just wanted. I was like, I don't know what's going on, but what laws could they before the gun issue though? Well, what could they do? Like what?
Well, I'll let Shannon go, but she's just talking about, you know, reviewing the laws that's on the book.
Yeah, so I mean common sense stuff, right? Like if you're 17. And the government doesn't feel like we can trust you to buy a drink or, in some states, a CD with cuss words on it, you know, or to play the slot machine or blackjack, why would we trust you with a gun? Like, why is that okay? And I understand if you grew up in a hunting culture and you want to hunt, but at 17, your parents should still be responsible for you doing so at that time. Or the same thing, if you're, you know, a suspected terrorist on the do not fly list, you can't rent a car, you can't, you know, get on a plane, why do you need to buy a gun? Or I think that there should be more mental health holds, you know, where mental health professionals possibly identify people who might need, you know, to be reviewed, where they might temporarily need to not be able to buy a gun. You know, so ARs, you know, the civilian version are semi-automatic, right? But, you know, you had that whole issue with them being easily modified to be fully automatic. And after the shooting at the Country Music Festival in Vegas?
Yeah, that's
a year ago, where they were possibly considering legislation to ban bump stock, which easily makes them fully automatic. And they couldn't even do that.
Well,
that's crazy.
Really, and they kind of had their information wrong on that, but that was the case.
The way I see it is, go ahead.
No,
I was thinking, because most of these people are mentally ill. They're usually having a breakdown or, you know, just money issues, you know, breakup. And I was thinking that maybe they could have a mental health thing where someone could come in and is like, yo, I was thinking about killing a whole bunch of people. And they get, and instead of them, because I guess they just worried about going to jail, they take their guns away from them. They don't let them have guns, and they'll just have, like, to monitor them for, like a mental health probation, or they have to check in with somebody for, like, 3 years or something like that.
Yeah, well, something like that. Really, anything. You know, I think more people, a lot of times, these people's relatives and family members know they're crazy. And I feel like, you know, more people should be able to go to the authorities and be like, you know, my son is a little off. I don't know that he needs a gun, or, you know, my relative or loved ones. I don't know. I just think that
we need to get a cop on to discuss that, because I mean, I have a close family cousin who has mental stuff, and you know, he never needs a gun. He don't even need to be driving, but unless, like, he, like, so his mom, like, you know, so he's trying to, okay, so his mother is trying to convince him, hey, you don't need a gun, you don't need to drive. You don't need to do nothing. He's like, no, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine. But she knows how he is when his meds ain't working right. So, like, he went to, I'll never forget, she called me and was like, yo, I'm really worried about him. He's on his way to the police station with a bat because he thinks the cops are following him. And I'm like, oh, shit. I'm hoping the cops don't shoot him. But she was smart enough to call the cops ahead of time. So, like, you know, so, of course, he showed up with the bat, like, why are y'all following him? And they're like, yeah, man, sit your black ass in this prison cell, and we're going to call an ambulance to come get you.
Right.
And thankfully, like, and thankfully it was all good and well. And she asked the police, like, how can I get, how can I take his license away? And they told her, like, look, unless he does a crime, you know, we can't do that. Just because
right.
the doctor says something, you know, but they can't legally do anything unless you commit a crime.
So that's why I think that mental health professionals should be able to flag people and be like, you know, and again, I don't want to say anybody who's identified as having a mental health issue can't have a gun, right? Because some mental health issues are more severe than others, and I don't want to say that somebody just permanently, you know, can never exercise their constitutional right, right? But there needs to be some kind of, like you said, like, you know, 3-year review period, and then it comes up for review, you know, or something like that. And I think that if hospitals, mental health professionals, local law enforcement were the ones who were able to, well, maybe not local law enforcement, but like hospitals and mental health professionals were the ones who were really able to do it, I think that that would help, you know, with the mental health issue a lot.
How would they flag them? Like, how would they?
Go ahead, Jamal.
How would they flag the person? Like, what, I mean, how would they go about, like, flagging someone, like, yo, this person's at risk or that person's at risk? Would it?
Well, it should be like,
hey,
all right, take for instance.
Hey, hold on, Black, I'm going to come right back to you, Jamar. I just want to let you know that Ben's lighting it up. I'm probably going to whoop your behind in fantasy football. But go ahead, Black.
I know. Last time I looked at the screen, it was 21-7. I was like, no, I'm good.
But go ahead, Black, tell your point, bro.
So what I was going to say as far as mental health issues is concerned, if a patient, let's say it's a new patient or a patient that's been there for a while, the psychiatrist who is dealing with them, if they know, all right, first off, they're going to know exactly what they're diagnosed with because they're the ones that gave them the diagnosis. So if, let's say, for instance, you want to give, without giving the person, well, actually, you have to get their name. But you can't give them the diagnosis that you gave to that person. But you can say, hey, this person is not qualified to have a gun or should not be able to have a gun in their possession. Now, maybe they can still go to a gun range and still fire off a gun if it gives them some kind of therapeutic value. But they cannot own or purchase a gun. So,
well, I don't want to be at the gun range with crazy people either. But, you know, there at the gun range, you have to show your license. Usually at least one person does. But everybody should have to show their license. And if you show up in this database or on this list, you should be asked to leave.
Okay. I mean, I get that.
That's only in the state of Maryland, because in my state, you don't have to have a license. Just
no, I was about to say, in Maryland, like, if I go with you and you show your license to rent the gun, I don't need to show mine.
Okay.
Or, like, to rent the lane, but I feel like you probably should.
But I'm saying there is a check and balance as far as that people who have mental health issues can go through in order to make sure that they don't have guns. But I feel that that's only part of the issue, because of the fact that there are plenty of other shootings that go on, and these people didn't have mental health issues, and yet they are able to purchase guns. So I think that's only part of the issue.
Right.
Go ahead. Hey, hold on, Shannon. Jamar, go ahead, jump in. What were you going to say?
Oh, no, I was just saying that, because, I mean, that's when they're already in the system, like, you already know that, but, like, this guy was a Marine, the one who shot up the bar. And he did have like four running with the police. So I think you would have to get law enforcement on some level. You have to be like, yo, this guy, we came across this guy like four times in the last year, and like
you're
pulled his name.
Right. Because they said that one of the incidents that the cops were called to his home for was some kind of issue that he had with somebody else. I think he got in an argument. And they were supposed to do a certain kind of, like, psychological exam with him, and they cleared him of it. And one of the commentators on the news when I was listening to it was saying that that's the first thing that the investigators are going to go through is to see why the hell did they clear him of a specific type of psychological exam, and how did they come up to that decision when clearly, you know, he had some psychological issues.
I know it sounds foul, and I'm going to just put it out there, right? Because props, first of all, I'm going to give my disclaimer. Props to all these people who fight for the country and all that stuff. I got nothing but love for y'all. I can't say I got respect for every single one of y'all because I don't know y'all personally. And one of y'all just killed a bunch of people, so I probably wouldn't have respect for you. But props to everybody that fight in the military. Can I just – and this might be off base, and I would love to talk to a couple of my buddies who's in the service and in the Marines. For the crazy people in the service, why don't we just keep them, like, over in the war zone? Because they're not – if they can't assimilate themselves back – if they can't assimilate themselves back into society and they just want to shoot some shit up and, you know, America's great for starting wars for no reason, why
right.
not just keep them over – why not just keep them over there and let them live out
because
their dreams?
Because we don't know why they would –
no, a lot of – I mean, I don't know. Like, I think a lot of them need – you know, like, we do a disservice to our vets here – medically, and part of that includes psychological care. A lot of them have PTSD. And,
yeah.
like, you know, it's not their fault. They were keeping us safe, and a lot of them have seen, like, you know, some crazy stuff. I just think they need better, you know, debrief post-care and psychological care. Or maybe we just need to reevaluate what we have them over there doing.
Hold on, Gunn, you watch the joint on Netflix, The Punisher?
But that's a fire.
The Marvel joint.
Yeah, you watch that joint?
Nah, I ain't seen that yet. Is that Marvel? That's Marvel,
so,
right? The Punisher.
It is. It's
only
Marvel.
Punisher
yeah.
I respect comes from the Bronx.
This dude.
Yeah, that's a really good show. It's better than I thought it was gonna be.
Exactly. So
no.
part of what
are you talking about?
Saying,
the radio show or the TV show?
Yo, this
TV
guy.
Show.
And he rides a motorcycle. I only saw the movie.
All right, the movie was trash, but the TV, the one on Netflix is actually really good. So part of what Gunn is saying is kind of in a way exemplified in that Netflix show is where the dude comes back from war and he got a little bit of PTSD. He don't know what really to do himself. He starts working at this job where it's kind of like security, but a little bit of a camaraderie type of feel. And he feels good about it, but he has psychological issues. The dude that's trying to help him out tells him not to work there because it's just going to make things worse, gets him fired, and he just goes off. So, I mean, kind of what you're saying right now, why don't you keep them over there? Well, the bad part of that is that, yeah, we go over and we fight wars, but at the same time, we try to, like, make sure that these people can govern themselves and you know, make peace and harmony. But you have people that have these psychological issues that do like the war part, do like probably, I don't know, killing people and have a sense that, oh, they're doing God's will or they're protecting their country or whatever, and don't do it in a humane type of fashion or way. And that's why some of them do get discharged.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the best thing to keep them over there.
Right. I think they'll just snap over there. I think they'll just go off and kill civilians.
Exactly.
And especially the breeding ground
that make them even crazier.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Especially something like America.
Go ahead, Jamar. Finish your thought. I want to make sure you got your chance to finish.
I was like, especially with a nation like America, because this is, I mean, as of right now, we still got the biggest military. Like, we got, like, the biggest military budget. So America really answers to no one. So you could go to an invaded country, kill about 20 civilians, and say they attacked you. And there's nobody to answer to no one.
All right, go ahead, Shannon.
No, I didn't want to add anything else.
Well, okay, well, in that part, Jamar, you can't say that we're the only country because the Saudis just killed a dude in Turkey, threw a body double out there. and said he got a fight.
That's different.
They,
you know, that,
they cut homeboy that, up with a bone saw and had his body
different.
Double walking around in the streets smoking stogies. Like
that's
everything
different.
Was all good.
That's different. That
that's
was
different.
A hit. That's way different.
That's it. And on top of that, we have a business deal with them. So that's the reason why we ain't saying nothing. If we had no business deal with them, trust me, bro, we'd be in there and be like, yo, this is foul. Like, we put sanctions on their ass that are more detrimental to their lifestyle than they are now.
Yo, Putin's been killing people for years, yo.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. We're the biggest ones. What? Like, ours is hidden. Like, everybody
really?
Else is,
you think
is
so?
Out. I think, here's the thing. Most Americans do not know what we do. Because we're the biggest people that massacre motherfuckers all of all time, and most Americans don't know that. We only know what we feed them in the news, and that is what other people are doing, not what we're doing.
I mean,
well,
who do you think they killed?
To your president.
I mean, they brought in a bone saw and chopped him up in the embassy in somebody else's country. Like that was. Like, you know, I think we snatch people at the airport, do a little rendition, take them to a black site, torture them a little bit. But this was,
exactly.
like, bold.
But
yeah, no
thing,
finesse at
thing.
All.
Because they don't give a fuck.
And nothing happened
yeah,
to them.
See, America would have hit
yeah.
him with the he would have fell asleep in his hotel and when he woke up. That would have been it. He had a heart attack in his sleep.
Right.
That's what
Putin, right. That's what we
yeah,
do.
That's what Putin do.
Yeah, but that's the reason why nobody knows about that shit. Like, we are painting ourselves as if we are holier than whatever, but we just as bad. It's just that they do this shit out in the open.
Now, America doesn't kill journalists.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, I don't have any proof. I can't think of anything off
now,
the top
I'm
of my
just
head.
Saying, like, we have black sites. We do a whole bunch of other shit. Like, you can't tell me that, all right, there's a section of the CIA or a section of, we have black ops, all right? We got people that make people disappear and that we have no accountability for it.
Yeah.
You can't
so
tell
if
me
we
don't
have
have
all
that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
if
I believe that.
All
I believe that. But that was,
yeah.
that dude that Saudi Arabia killed was, he was a reporter. American
yeah,
Empire
yeah,
reporter.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the direction we're going. The press is the enemy of the people, you know.
That's
I mean,
Trump
could pick a fight with a squirrel. He'll argue with a squirrel, so he'll argue with anybody.
No, but like that
you know
that type of rhetoric and that narrative about the press and not having a free and impartial press is where countries end up, like. Saudi, like Cuba,
yeah.
like some other countries.
Hey, God bless Cuba. Hey, did y'all watch Trump's press conference the other day?
Negative.
Did y'all hear what? Yeah, that joke was great. Did y'all see when he was like, I don't understand you, your English isn't that well, and people got offended?
Wait, he said
no,
that
I didn't see that
talking.
One. I saw when he went off on Jim Acosta.
Yeah, it was after that. There was another reporter who, like, she had a little accent. He was like, yeah.
Oh, I heard about it because people were like, how he don't understand her accent, but he lives with Melania.
Yeah, but I want to say, though, I kind of feel, you know, because I was on the phone with an Indian chick from DirecTV. I think she was Indian. I don't want to be racist. I think she was Indian. With DirecTV, because I was trying to get a discount on my cable, and I swore on our conversation, she's like, yeah, I got you. She hooked me up with a discount, and then I tried to turn on my football game Sunday and realized she took my NFL package off my cable, and I realized there was a miscommunication that if she'd had somebody from Jersey on there, we would have had a better conversation about how they didn't want my football to leave. So I feel them. But, man, yo, let's take a break from the serious topics real quick, man. Let's talk. Man, I guess the next thing I had on my list was Damascus kids in Maryland getting raped by pool sticks. But
what?
What?
I'm sorry. Jeez,
yeah,
that's too serious.
About that yet?
I don't know if I want to hear about,
I hear about that.
Look, so y'all remember the movie, damn, what was the movie where LL Cool J was the bad guy? Into Deep.
Oh, man. Into Deep.
So, apparently, so Damascus High School football has a ritual with their hazing of freshmen, incoming freshman football players, and I don't understand why it's just now going on now. It's November. Like, the football season's almost over. Where they turn off the lights, the seniors pin down a kid, and I'll say this. There have been 4 kids arrested for rape with a pool stick.
Like, how do you even start? Like, how does that come into the conversation?
If somebody does that,
you're Dr. Black,
too,
it goes in the bunk. It goes in the bunk.
Like, what possesses you to do that to somebody else? Like, why not just be like, well, nah, we ain't doing that no more?
And
yeah,
why does it come in your mind in the first place?
I don't know.
That's where teachers and coaches come in, because apparently this kid who dimed out everybody, because there was one kid who went back to his parents and was like, yo, this will happen to me tonight. Fuck all of them. But apparently, like, when this kid was
in eighth grade,
yeah, I ain't mad at him either, yo. See, like, I wouldn't mad if he shot that school up. Well, not the school. See, that's kind of a bad thing to say. But if he went back and tried to shoot them kids, I wouldn't be mad at him, because you just violated.
No, I feel like he did the right thing.
I understand that. I understand that.
But, you know, I mean, but apparently in eighth grade, this kid heard about this story and this hazing thing, and he thought, and, like, people dismissed it like, oh, it's just fake, it's not real. And he was like, oh, somebody just got a cruel joke. But when he went to the school, apparently the other day this happened. Like, they had them all in the locker room, they shut off the lights, they started jumping on kids. A couple kids got away, but a couple kids didn't. And the ones that didn't got a pool stick in their butt, in their asshole.
So you've been playing football all your life?
I've been playing football all of my life. Since I was about
Have you ever
old.
Been hazed in such a way? Maybe not a pool stick, maybe.
No, they would be dead.
Whatever happened to tying people up and throw them in the cold water?
Like, okay, so I have been hazed. So there has been things in my life. To get into the subject of hazing, there has been hazing on me before of things that I didn't agree with, but I didn't feel like it disrespected me as a man. There was some shit that I thought that was not. Now, I pledge a fraternity. We're non-hazing fraternity, but I've had some experience with that. Football is a non-hazing entity, and I've been through stuff with that. When it came to high school football, you know, I played on the varsity as a sophomore. So I think the most that I had to do was carry equipment. I had to, like, clean out, like, the seniors' lockers. But for the most part, though, like, it was weird growing up. And not to say, like, I was always one of the cool kids, but I never had a problem having friends. So, like, when I got hazed, I can't – and I'm only speaking on my experience personally. When I got hazed in high school, it was like, yo, you got to stay. You're going to miss your bus. You got to clean out my locker room. You got my locker. You got duties, you know, little duties or whatever. But then I'm going to take you over to Shorty House and we're going to study. I'm going to introduce you to an upper class. When I was in college, it was like, yo, you got to carry this equipment. You got to sing this song. But, yo, if you're ever hungry, you never got paid for a meal. When it's time for you to do your laundry, don't put no quarters in the thing. Come over to the crib. I'll take care of you. But it was never anything like we never. Okay, so I will say there was one thing sexually that I experienced that I didn't take place in because I didn't feel right. So at one point, I'm not going to say it's high school or college because I don't want to get them in trouble, but they made the O-lineman drink a bunch of tequila, which was wrong, which was crazy. Thank God I could hold my drink, but there's a lot of people that passed out early. But they made you strip butt naked and run into a couple girls' apartments and try to
Whoa, man.
Okay.
And try to get kisses from the girls.
Hashtag now, me too.
Right.
Hashtag what?
Hashtag
Look,
me
I'm
too.
I'm gonna say this. There were some of the girls who stood to the back and was like, oh, this is offensive. Not like offensive, but like, y'all are crazy. I can't believe y'all doing this. And there were some girls who were like, hey, I like what I see. Let me grab you and say hello. And I don't mean grab your hand. So, you know, so that hazing is kind of like, I guess now that there's a bunch of gay people, that sounds weird to say, but I guess there's, because there's a bunch of gay people running around, if you got a gay football player, that's kind of foul for him to do. For a horny kid who's trying to find some cheeks in college, you know, as long as you're not ashamed of your package, you're probably good with that. I mean, I'm thinking about the camera phones.
Like,
I'm in shock. I thought football hazing was like Varsity Blues and Remember the Titans. Like, y'all work out real hard, sing a song, be brothers.
What? No. Yeah, you do that too. But, you know. But, I mean, but it's like the male instinct. Like, you try to hook the people who are coming into your space that you see as equals. You try to hook them up with things that you enjoy. And for most men, that's women. So you try to put them in a position to be with women. You make them do something embarrassing, but you give them something on the other side, like, yo, here goes some cheeks for you.
So have you ever hazed underclassmen as a football player?
No. No, I've never believed in it. As much. See, I got hazed, but it was never anything that I didn't want to do. Like, even for that situation, because I had a girlfriend who, you know, I thought I was going to marry and I was going to be with forever. I was like, yo, I'm not running into a girl's apartment butt naked. And they were like, yo, you got to do it or you're not in the group. And I was like, and the bad part is I was good enough. I was like, well, that's cool. I'm better than all y'all anyway. And they kind of, and they were kind of like, all right, Gunn, you know, how can we modify this? And I'm like, yo, I'm just letting you know I'm not running into, because my girlfriend would kill me. That's what my thought at the time. Now, when I became older, I never wanted to haze a kid because all I really cared about was sports. Like, yo, be good enough to play football. I don't care if you can sing. I don't care if you want to run in the room and with butt naked with girls and all that stuff. Be good at football. So I didn't care about hazing. My thought was, we'll get close if we're cool, if we go through experiences together, not because I made you sing a song.
Right.
So I've never, now my fraternity, I've hazed a couple kids, but my hazing was a little bit different. Like, my hazing was,
I don't know that you need to say that.
Nah, but I mean, my time's gone, yo. I mean, my time's been gone. They're going to have to come get me. But, like, even with other kids who are in my fraternity, I was never like, okay, I'm going to beat you down physically and mentally so you can join my fraternity. My whole thought was, no, me and you are going to tussle. We're going to tussle. We're going to fight. You allowed to hit me. I'm allowed to hit you. We're going to figure this out. We're going to tussle so that when we're all done, I can say that, yo, me and you went to war with each other. We made it through. We pieced it up, and now we're family. So that's been my whole thing. So anybody,
you're
kind of
big. I would rather be hazed than fight you.
Well, I took it easy.
Was that
on the smaller? Depends on what kind of haze.
Is that a fraternity thing, or that was your, that you get to decide what you do?
Yeah, I plead the fifth, yo. This is why another person, yo, couldn't do it. So yeah, when y'all get a second, take a chance, look it up. It's right in y'all Maryland, folks. It's right in y'all backyard, the Masters football team, man. Just putting holes in kids' buttholes, man. I could imagine that as a father, yo. So okay, so even moving on to the next subject of with the teacher fighting the kid.
Oh,
and Shannon, I'll go to you first on this discussion. But my quick point is this: like, these kids who do these things are acting like adults, and they should be treated like adults. if I find out that my son has gotten a pool stick shoved up his asshole without his consent, now if he's just into that freaky gay stuff, then I just have to deal with that mentally. But if it's done without his consent, like, everyone's going to die.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
I don't think I should be punished for that.
But I agree.
In the same token, is we got this teacher who beat up this kid for calling him a nigger. So, Sheridan, I'll go to you first, and then I'll go to you, Black, and then I'll go to you, Jamar. Should my question, I guess, to you is, should the teacher be punished at all for beating up a student and not being the bigger person?
No.
Shannon, good talk.
I mean, some of these kids are big as adults, and they think they're adults. And, like, you know, you can't tell the teacher not to protect themselves, and that teacher just happened to have had enough.
Kenny, what you think? First off, was this in a school setting that this occurred at?
Was this out in the streets?
Yeah.
No, nah, this was in class.
Okay, so I don't agree with that. Like, you shouldn't. A teacher, because this is your job. You're here to protect students. You're here to help students and nurture them and give them guidance, wisdom, aside from educational value. So I don't agree, no matter how disrespectful or disruptive they can be, unless they are physically trying to harm you, I don't agree with them putting hands on someone else's child. Now, do I think that kid should have gone unpunished for calling me a nigga? Nah, you're going to get punished. I mean, you got to get punished some form or fashion, but I just don't agree with me laying hands on a kid. Now, if they saw me out in the streets, that's a different story. But in a school setting where it's your job to be the protector and not the attacker, nah, I don't agree with it. Jamar?
I agree with it. I mean, I know what you're saying about, you know, him being a student and there being there to learn. He's there to teach. But as a student, he got to, like, the teacher's supposed to respect the process and the student's supposed to respect the process. So if the teacher's there to teach, he's supposed to be there to learn. He's supposed to sit down, be quiet, and let the teacher talk. And it's not like he just said the N-word. He threw a basketball at the teacher, got up out of his chair, walked to the front of the class, and got in the teacher's face and called him the N-word.
Oh.
So, I mean, it's not like the teacher just said, the N-word teacher just grabbed him and knocked him out. And he got him out his, he threw a basketball at him, got about his chair, walked to the front of the class, got in the teacher's face. So he was begging. He did not respect him as a teacher. So I feel like the teacher was right and put him in his place.
Let me ask you this, though. When he hit him, like, I didn't know the whole logistics of how this went down. I thought he was just sitting in his chair and just called him a nigga. I didn't know he got up out of his seat, got up in his face, and called a nigga right in his face. I didn't know all the logistics. But at the same time, he whooped him like he beaten down somebody else, like in an actual real fight. Am I correct?
Yeah.
But it's
yeah. He definitely won.
Well, it'd be one thing if he was punching the kid and the kid wasn't trying to fight back. I could see if he swung at the kid and the kid caught up in the ball and he just, like, just mollywopped him and just kept going. But the kid was trying to fight back. He just wasn't succeeding.
About when the kid hits the teacher? Because I also saw a video from Baltimore this morning of a girl clocking an old lady in the face, a teacher. And I know if that was
girl,
my mom, like, gonna say it, everybody's gonna die. The kid, their parents, everybody.
Hold up. That was a girl? I thought it was a dude. Dude hit.
No, this
was
a different instance.
Teacher.
So I'm saying, like, what if, you know, because the kids are definitely out here putting their hands on teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I give the teachers full ability to whoop ass. I'm sorry. You're not gonna lay hands on a teacher.
But I thought you just said that they had their respected process and nobody put a hand on them.
I thought, if it's just words, if you're just using words, that's nothing to me. But if you are fucking using your physical ability to harm me, nah, I'm laying hands. I'm sorry. I give the teacher full rights. Because the video that I saw on Instagram, it was a dude that got in the teacher's face. There was a girl that was trying to block the dude from getting in the teacher's face. He pushed the girl and then stole the shit out of the teacher. And this older, you know, teacher was like, "Oh my gosh, what's wrong?" Started chasing after the student after she got stole. And I'm like, "What? Are you fucking kidding me?"
This is a Buffalo.
You steal my, yeah, if my grandma's a teacher and a kid steals my grandma, I'm coming into school and I'm beating the hell out the kid too, yo.
That's what I'm saying.
You ain't gonna
be and their parents.
Oh, we fighting everybody.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like if you bold enough to call somebody a racial slur, you are bold enough to absorb the consequences that come with that, whether that be a suspension from school, whether that be a scolding from a parent, or whether that be a punch in the face by a teacher. If you are old enough to read, write, and get on a bus by yourself, then you're old enough to not say any racial slurs.
My thing is, if
you're old, also, and you're also old enough to accept the repercussions that come with ignoring saying a racial slur.
You have a kid. Gun, you have a kid. Now, if your kid went ahead, got in the teacher's face, called him or her a nigger, the teacher didn't do nothing, like didn't like physically harm him, but let him go to detention. You'll be okay with that. I'm pretty sure you probably would have. But if they
I'm gonna fuck my son up for disrespecting another man, and I'm gonna tell the teacher next time my son calls you out your name just because he doesn't like a grade, you punch him in his face.
Yeah, but
people
there's
talk
a difference
to you
between
like a man,
punching
the
face,
like a man,
and then whooping
then you
the
call
ass.
Me.
Can I?
Huh?
My thing is, you got to compare apples to apples, oranges. Like, if we're talking about the same exact situation, like if I had a kid and my kid was just disrupting the class, decided to get up, let's say her teacher's Hispanic or his teacher's Hispanic, disrupting the class, throws a basketball at the teacher, decides to get out of his seat, goes to the front of the classroom, gets in the teacher's face, call him, you know, a racial slur, and the teacher hit him. I couldn't be too mad, cause I'd be shocked because you're not the parent. You don't really know what's going on with your kid. I'd be shocked, like, I didn't even know he was acting like that.
Too mad.
I was a
caregiver. As soon as I get to the school, and the teacher tells me, "Hey, your son threw a basketball at me first," the rest of whatever happened does not matter. I am fucking my kid up on sight because I raised him better than that.
I agree with you on that. I think that it should be the parents to go ahead and be able to discipline them after they hear that their child is doing something like that. Because here's the thing. We're having a lot of younger kids having kids. So they don't understand how they should bring up their children. So that's why I think it's a tough line to take. Hold on.
That's
I
not
think
true.
It's still a tough
that's
line
not true.
Black because
my mom,
if,
had, my
right.
mom had me when she was 16.
No. My mom had, all right, so my mom had me when she was 17. But the thing is, everybody's different. Like, we think a certain type of way. We are in agreement that, we wouldn't mind our kids getting beat up by the teachers. But there are thousands of other people that would mind. So you don't know. So that's the thing. You run the risk of losing your job just because you were trying to defend yourself, but the parent, on the other hand, is going to stick up for their child no matter whether they're right or wrong, and they're going to be like, "Nah, you should never put hands on my kid." So that's why I think
they
should be more of.
So that brings up a good question, because I read an article last week that said that this big, like, child psychological body here in the U.S. said that spanking children is even more harmful than they originally thought and leave them with long-term repercussions and make them angry and all types of things.
There's a difference between beatings and abuse. My dad beat me, but he didn't abuse me. So, I mean, when I was little, I didn't like him. I used to curse my dad as far as him beating me and shit, but when I grew older, I was like, damn, if I didn't get whoopings, I'd be way worse than I am right now. So I don't agree with what people say. I ain't gonna lie.
Me neither. I was spanked. I wasn't getting. I probably didn't get a beating past the age of 10.
Mm-mm.
Like, it didn't mess me up. The thing about it is, that's what I'm saying. Is it spanking or is it getting abused? Because, you know, there's this organization out called It's Never Okay to Hit a Child. And then they got these cases of kids being killed or burned or, like, being today bloody and stuff like that. And that's, like, that's abuse. That's not spanking.
Yeah, that's abuse.
Yeah.
I got spanked. I got beat. And I even, like, when I started school in D.C. public schools, teachers could beat you, too.
Oh,
wow.
This
is
y'all from the Nah,
yo,
mom used to tell me when she taught in D.C. public schools, and she taught kindergartners, she would beat them. I mean, they could go tell their parents. I don't care.
Yeah. And then my mom would come to the school and take me to the cubbies and beat me again.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, that's parenthood. That's parents who are taking responsibility for their kids' actions. These kids who are throwing basketballs and trying to fight teachers, their parents probably aren't taking responsibility for their actions. Or these are the type of kids that grow up and shoot up clubs. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah, I just looked at that Baltimore incident, and that teacher got punched in the face. Like, the student just punched teacher in the face. Teacher didn't even fight back. That's crazy.
Yeah, that was an older lady.
She needed to get beat down. Now she even got a spank, and she wouldn't have did that.
I agree.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
That's crazy.
So we're all in agreement. Beat your kids. So,
Yeah. Beat your kids. Don't abuse them, though. Don't abuse them.
Yeah, don't abuse them. Don't beat them.
Yeah, don't beat them down and tell them they're worthless.
No.
My niece, she's 4, will be in public, and if she does something, I'll look at her, and then she'll say, "Are you going to beat me?" And people look, and it's so embarrassing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, my son's the same. Go ahead, Kenny. I just thought that was hilarious, that's all.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, Will, if you ask that question again.
Go ahead, Black. Say that again, Jamar.
I said, tell you, Will, if she asked that question again.
I know, right?
Yeah. Look, my son says the same way. I tell my son he gets everything in the world. He has 2 jobs. Well, he has 3 jobs. He has to take care of his mother. He has to feed the dog. And he has to be good in school. So school systems nowadays, they got this color system. It's like blue is good. Teal is good. Green is good. Yellow is okay. And red is bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, he gets on yellow every now and then. And, like, I mean, I understand why he gets on yellow. Sometimes he's bored in school. But, like, I'll go to pick him up, and I'm like, how'd you do on school? And he'll look at me. I'm like, yo, you better tell me the truth. He's like, I got on yellow. Are you going to spank me? And it'd be in front of everybody. And, like, he's going to cry. And I look at him, I'm like, man, get your ass in the car, yo. And I be showing up to his school in like a wife beater because I just got out the gym. And I just look sad, you know.
That's
but they
so funny.
One of the best kids at the school, so I don't get no problems. But I know one day one of the little white teachers are going to look at my kid and be like, maybe I can save him. They're going to be like, he's the blind side.
Aww.
Hey, Jamar, yo, Ben Roethlisberger just threw another touchdown.
That's terrible,
but,
man.
So we got about, we've been on the line for an hour and 10 minutes. It's been a good conversation, man. I got a lot of stuff we haven't got to, man. I want to talk about the Florida recount, the political ads, Georgia. I want to talk about Black Friday. All right, so let me go with some quick rapid topics, some old topics. Ja Rule versus 50 Cent. I got to get some of this old stuff off my list. Ja Rule versus 50 Cent. 50 Cent bought out 2,000 front row tickets on a Ja Rule concert and is in talks trying to buy his whole catalog. Jamar, are you interested in Ja Rule versus 50 Cent 20 years later?
I mean, not really. 50 Cent is petty. I've seen the pictures with the front row being empty. I laughed, but other than that, I'm like 50. Like, Because at this point, Ja Rule career is not where it used to be. Neither is 50 Cent. So this is just 50 Cent doing what he do to get some more media attention. Like, he like to beat up on people. Like, when Terry Crews got, what is that? When that dude groped him? 50 Cent had a meme that was like, I got groped and my wife didn't help me. So he he's like, 50 Cent is an internet troll right now.
Yeah. Shannon, what you got?
I wasn't interested in it the first time.
Okay. Good talk. Black. I mean, I agree with Jamal, man. That he's just a troll, man. I mean, you can't how you gonna be petty after all these years? How many years is it? 17? Like, I don't even know. Like, this nigga's been harboring.
He did get stabbed a couple times. Like, that's a reason to harbor some anger.
But does he know for a fact that it was Ja Rule's fault?
Yeah, he got stabbed with him when they tried to exchange the watch for the necklace on the first
album.
Who
got stabbed?
I thought Black Child stabbed him.
Okay, but he also got shot a bunch of times, so he should be resilient at this point.
That wasn't Ja Rule. That was Black Child.
That's what I thought.
Yeah,
that's what I don't understand.
It was on the same night.
How he know he was involved in that shit though?
They were all there together. It was a big fight. They were going to, some dude was trying
they
to
went to the studio.
He didn't go well.
He got shot 9 times. He shouldn't be fazed by getting stabbed a little bit.
Yo,
okay, but shot.
You said what?
Go ahead. I was going to say being shot is underrated. Like, it's one of the worst things ever, but we can have that conversation another day.
Exactly. So why is he worried about a little stabbing?
I think
they both
do
it
bad.
Exactly. It ain't cool either. Yeah. So, all right, cool. So I got that off the list. No one really cares about
50 Cent Ja Rule,
no.
But we all think that
no.
50 Cent is funny. I mean, buying a whole front row ticket, I mean, I would send it. Like, if Ja Rule was smart, I'd send him a thank you note for helping sell out. Like, I'm like, oh,
right.
Sold out venue. Thanks to 50 Cent. Like, thanks for being a fan. But, all right, so another question I got, and this is, man, it's we got like, I don't know if because this could be an interesting topic. Okay, so we have one woman on the line, so I need everybody to be respectful towards her. Shannon, this is kind of like a battle, my usual battle of sexes question.
Yes.
I know you personally. I know you as a close friend, and I consider you family. But I don't know this information about you, but I do know this about other women. Why do women keep track of every time they have sex?
Keep track of every time?
Yes.
I do not do that.
So you're one of the different ones. I've said, okay, I've dated, and this is, including my wife, I guess I can say this. I don't think she'd get mad at me, but if she does, it's all right. She's not going to leave me. But I've dated just like 2 or 3 women in my day. That's about it. But they've all kept a calendar. And every time I've looked at
really
the calendar, it's like a little. Yeah, it's like a little. Come on, Sam. It's like a little dot. Like, or like an X. It's always like a little mark. And I was like, yo, what's that mark for? And he was like, that's the last time we had sex. And I was like, why? And he's like, you never know.
Well,
and
first
I've
of all, this shows how outdated you are because nobody keeps an actual physical calendar anymore. And
not true.
The only reason I can think of is to track, like, when, you know, like, when your period should be coming to make sure you're not pregnant. And if you are, when did it happen? But I don't see any reason to keep track of every time. So I don't. I've never really have.
So I'll ask the men. So, Kenny, I'm going to go to you first, and I'm scared of this answer.
Hold on. It's going to be good. It's not going to be bad. So,
do you keep track of when you have sex?
Wait, do I? I don't keep a list. I just know that in the instances where there has been lists, it was like what Shannon said.
In the instances where there has been lists?
Yeah.
When you did appear on somebody's list?
Yeah.
when I did, it was because they wanted to track the pitch. Because I ain't gonna lie, I was raw dogging it. So there had to be. I mean, yeah, I know it's not good for me to be doing, but hey, I was doing it. Then the second instance was to also see. All right, so there was this one girl that I dated, and I'm not gonna name her name. And we dated for like years or so. So
don't have Shorty call me talk about. He can never come on the radio show again.
I'm not gonna name her name, but we dated for like I think 6 to 8 months or something like that. And all right, I'm not gonna lie, I was out in these streets. So she made this little. She put it in her calendar. And how many times we had sex? Because in the beginning when we started messing, we were having sex a lot. Then as the months continued to go on, it started to dwindle. And she was like, what's going on? Like, why is it that, you know, you come over, you say you're not, you know, you don't really feel like it. You're tired all the time. And, yeah, I was working at the time. So, but I was doing other things. So I would tell her, like, yo, I'm tired. I'm worked. I got work. Blah, blah, blah. So she was like, yo, we only had sex once in 2 weeks. And I was like, oh, I didn't know you. That's how I found out. I was like, how do you know that? And then she showed me her little, like, it was a little, like, a little calendar booklets or something. And she wrote it down alongside with her periods and all that other type of stuff. So I was like, why are you checking on this stuff? She was like, because this is proof that you must be doing something. And I'm like, I'm not. And, I mean, granted, she never caught me, but at the same time.
I was going to say, you were lying.
That's the only, yeah, I was. I ain't going to lie. I was. So that's the only other reason why I know that they would keep it. Women would keep it. That's the only reason.
Okay. So, Jamar, do you keep track of every time you do it?
No. I mean, no. The only reason, like the dude said, the only reason I could think, because even if it was about the period, like even if it was the day before, wouldn't she notice she missed it? Something is just to keep. This is more to keep track of, like the dude, like if you're not getting it here, then where you getting it?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's my thinking.
So
I feel like I don't need a calendar to press you out about that.
You got an internal calendar.
Yeah, if I'm
a
lean on you,
and that'll cause a mark in the book. So I mean, I guess that didn't. I guess it didn't work because I mean, I've dated a couple women. They've all kept calendars, and my wife does it now too. And I'm like, yo, we're married. Like, who cares when we have sex? And she's just like, you never know. And I'm like, all right, I'm gonna be cheating on me or what. But the conversation I'm having is done with. I'll just trust you have your system, and I'm gonna let that ride. But she's not the first woman I've come across who's kept a calendar of every time it's happened. And the bad thing is, you know, probably shouldn't say that, but I've never gone through a woman's phone, but I have looked in women's calendars because you can find a lot about the calendars, especially about the period. Because, like, Kenny, if you out in these streets, well, not like Kenny now, but back in the day, when you out in these streets, yeah. You kind of get worried, like, whoa, like, I don't really know when she's catching the period. So I kind of look at the calendar when she ain't looking to see if I can figure out, you know, to make sure I ain't going to be a daddy before I'm assumed to be a daddy. Right. And then you just see all these markings. And I did, you know, the first time I found out that my girlfriend was cheating on me is because I was going through a calendar. And I realized, like, my name, JG, would be a lot. And I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah, she was over that night. And then I would see, like, somebody else's initials. I'm like, damn.
That's crazy.
Damn. That is real crazy. Right. Like, why would you put that on the calendar?
Yeah.
The funny thing is, you know, y'all know my personality. I didn't even care. I was just like, all right, well, now I got to start using the condom.
I'm going to ask my friends if they keep a calendar, if they keep track.
Yeah, we got to get some more of your friends, some more of your party and friends on here. Because I heard y'all had a great time Saturday night.
We did.
We did.
We got to get your friends over here more often. So, okay, so maybe we'll table that conversation until we have more of a woman's table around to discuss about calendar and keeping track of sex. All right, so about 10 minutes left. Let me see. Another old topic I wanted to talk about, the University of Maryland football coach, but that's kind of dark. You know, I think I'll table that till next week. I want to talk about the Time versus Prince, Purple Rain. I really wanted to get to that. Yeah, how come everybody wants flying cars? Don't they know that they're just airplanes? Have you ever had a conversation with somebody who said we can't wait for flying cars? Anybody give up to airplanes?
I don't think that would ever work, though.
I don't want that. That's come early. No, I don't want it. So, Jamar, I'll go to you first. Why don't you want flying cars?
Because they can fall somebody, man. That engine go out, that thing overheat. That's life right there, man. And you know people going to try it. They can be like, yo. You know how people, you ever see somebody's car just on the side of the road and they ran out of gas? They going to do that with flying cars. They trying to, they pitch your pennies. It's not worth it.
Shannon, you want flying cars?
I really hadn't thought about it. Is it going to be like Back to the Future or something?
The only reference we got, let's say that. Like if we had like Back to the Future, would you want flying cars?
I don't know. Y'all try to say women can't drive on the ground, so I feel like y'all are going to criticize us more in the air.
Yo. Yo, y'all can't. Yo, I was moving my motorcycle this afternoon, and I hate to be racist because I love all races, but I was moving my motorcycle this afternoon because I'm going to drive it to Yeah, yo. So I'm parked in front of my house, and then, like, so I live in a city, so, you know, the streets are a little bit narrow. I live in a 100-year-old neighborhood. Streets are a little bit narrow. So sometimes you know how, like, one car's got to move over to the side so another car can pass, and then they go. So I'm sitting on my motorcycle, and next thing I see these headlights screaming towards me, and I'm like, oh, shit, I'm about to die, and I'm parked on a motorcycle in front of my house. And she slams on the brakes, and I look at her, and this is an Asian lady, and she was just letting another car go past her. And I'm like, yo, did you just not see me? But one of my best friends is Asian, so I'm not racist. I got one.
Yeah, I try
I'm like
not
Trump,
to be prejudiced about
women,
but he seemed to not drive as well as everybody else.
This ain't no racist. That makes it okay.
Yeah. But one day we will get in discussion why women can't drive. Because I hate the way my wife drives.
We can.
I hate the way she drives. No, y'all.
It's just different from the way you may do it.
Nah, like she be breaking too early. She don't be. She be. I don't.
Better too early, too late.
I know. It's rough, man. But you know what? It's 10:30. Cause I mean, I really want to get into these Florida recounts. We talk about Le'Veon Bell. We talked about the California mass shooter. I still want to get into a conversation about Black Friday and what it means. Go ahead, Jamar.
Oh, no, go ahead with your the list. I was about to say something about Le'Veon Bell, but go ahead.
Go ahead, go ahead. Go ahead, what you want?
No, I just think,
man,
I think.
For the people by the people.
I think Le'Veon Bell made the right choice. Because he contractually, he could come back in week 11 and still have that year count. He's a running back. Running backs have the shortest careers of any position in the NFL. There's no reason he should come back and be underpaid. Take his body and just take his time.
He's going back to college?
No, he's holding out.
So this isn't that big mouth light skin guy's kids?
No.
What?
Hold on.
Wait,
this is why y'all need to stop boycotting football.
Oh, no, that's Ball. His last name is Ball. Never mind. Good.
Alonzo Ball.
Oh,
nah.
You confused.
It's the NFL. That's basketball.
Oh Lord. But yeah, I mean, Kenny, you got any comments on the Le'Veon Bell situation? We just gonna ignore.
No,
Kenny's
I obviously
comments.
Have no information about that.
I agree.
I know you support Kaepernick.
I think. Yeah, I definitely support Kaepernick. But yeah, I agree. I think he should not return. I mean, yeah, he's, what, about to be, if he's not already 30, about to be 30. And, you know, running backs, their livelihood in the NFL is shortened, greatly shortened. I mean, what's the face that plays for the Skins is just lucky that he got a chance with the Skins. But if he didn't, he probably wouldn't be in the NFL right now. So, yeah, I would go where he's more valued to a team that is in need of a running back, especially as skilled as he is, and get that money. So, yeah. And
but,
plus, added to that,
but,
Steelers don't need him at this point. They're doing well.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not really the conversation, though, Kenny. The conversation
what
is
you,
you signed a contract, you signed a tender, your contract is part of this year. Theoretically, you're getting paid for this year. Now, you sat out, so you're not getting the money, but you signed a contract to agree to the. Yeah, that's what I said.
Well,
so they're saving
the
money.
So you're saying he should have played, got injured, and then loses his chances of getting a better contract for next season.
No, I'm kind of playing devil's advocate. I'm not saying you can't say that he's going to get injured because you don't know if he's going to get injured or not.
Man, that nigga's
going
to get injured. I'm telling you right now.
Listen, you know, not everyone who plays football gets injured. Well, that's not true either, but not every person who plays every single year gets injured every single year. But he could have played, had the best career of his life, and got the biggest contract in the world.
That would have never happened. That would have never happened.
Steelers were not giving that.
How do you know?
They would have franchise tagged his ass again.
Exactly.
No, they can't
franchise first,
tag him again. That's the whole point
about
this year because they franchise tagged him twice.
No, they can franchise tag him. It would have been a lot of money.
I could have sworn that they could franchise tag him again the next season. That's it.
No.
He becomes a free agent next year.
Yeah, because they franchise tagged him 2 years in a row, they legally can't do it the third year. So no matter what happened this year.
That's not the franchise tag. That's the fifth-year option. See, when Bell came in the league, he had no choice but to sign that contract. Because that was an NFLPA thing before he even got drafted. So he's part of something that's out of his control. And that's a 4-year deal. They get a 5th-year option. They get a franchise tag. And they get franchise tag him again.
Yeah, because
so
I heard that today.
So that's
but
what?
They franchise,
4 years.
I swore
that's
they franchise
6 years.
Tagged him 2 years. Okay, so look, let's say this. It's getting late, about 10:30 at night. We'll table this discussion because Shannon's tapped out on us. She's probably hopped up on some vino. Or, you know, what were you drinking the other night? You were drinking whiskey the other night, weren't you, Shannon?
I don't know what I was drinking.
You don't know what
you
were
drinking.
Good. See, that's how my man, shout out to my man B. Easy, who got roofied last year. Thank God no one got roofied. I hope no one got roofied this year. Hey, Black, by the way you've acted in clubs sometimes, I think you got roofied too, yo, because you've almost caused a lot of problems.
I have good stories about me.
We'll save that for next week. We'll talk about this Le'Veon Bell situation for next week. I'm going to do some research on some contract information so we have some solid information. And we'll get into this conversation again next week. So we're going to end it tonight. Jamar, thanks for calling in. Black, thanks for calling in. Shannon, always great to have you. So, Jamar, I'm going to mute everybody else real quick. Anything you want to say to the people before you sign off?
Nah, I ain't got nothing to say. I wish you told me I would have prepared a statement.
Well, next week, same time, same place, you can call on in. Thanks for calling in, man. Thanks for joining all of us. My man Black.
You're
good, B. You got anything to say to the people before I sign you off?
Nah, just everybody be easy. Enjoy y'all weekend.
All right, sounds good. Shannon.
Just I'm going to do a study and find out how many of my friends keep track of every time they have sex.
Yeah, I need you to call. No, but look, I want to do this online because I want to have a good conversation.
Okay, I'm going to get some girls together for next week.
Please reach out to your crew who's doing the booty popping, doing the go-go, and see if they got calendars. See if they got calendars.
But all right, cool, man. So we're signing off on the off ramp. Thanks again to all the guests that joined us. And thank you to all the people that called in. I know there's a lot of y'all couldn't get to, but me, Jamar, Shannon, and Black were having such great conversation. I try to get as many people on the line as I can, but I try to, you know, try to make sure it's a good core of us. Love having you guys call in and listen and shooting me texts on the side, laughing, talking about I'm crazy and talking about my wife's going to kill me. But, you know, my wife married me. She understands what it is. Thanks again, Shannon, for all your contributions. Thanks again, Black, for all your contributions. Thanks again, my man Jamar, for all your contributions. The off-ramp, man, it's been a good night. Y'all have a good weekend, and we'll see y'all again next week.